The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Lately, we've been talking a lot about money, right? Especially about the rich, but money in general. Because Jesus talks a lot about the rich, right? "Lay down your things and follow me," he says. "It's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven." And last week, we had the shrewd manager and a warning that one cannot serve both wealth and God. But what's the actual sin here? Because money isn't evil. It says money is the root of evil, but money cannot be evil because it doesn't have an active conscience. It's not a living thing. It can't be good or evil. It just is, right? Money just exists. It's a tool of our society. But the sins that are attributed to money, that's what we call evil. That's why it's the root of evil. Greed, selfishness, hate, and maybe worst of all, idolatry. Right? That is placing the love of, well, anything above God. As we prepare for our confirmands here in a month, it's perhaps good to take a look at the words of Martin Luther himself in his explanation on the first commandment, which is, anybody? Close. "You shall have no other gods before me," right? As found in the Large Catechism, Luther's explanation, he writes, "This I must unfold somewhat more plainly, that it may be understood and perceived by ordinary examples of the contrary. Many a one thinks that he has God and everything in abundance when he has money and possessions. He trusts in them and boasts of them with such firmness and assurance as to care for no one. Lo, such a man has a God, Mammon by name, that is money and possessions. on which he sets all his heart, and which is also the most common idol on earth. He who has money and possessions feels secure and is joyful and undismayed, as though he were sitting in the midst of paradise. On the other hand, he who has none doubts and is despondent, as though he knew of no God. For very few are to be found who are of good cheer, and who neither mourn nor complain if they have not mammon. This care and desire for money sticks and clings to our nature, even to the grave. So too, whoever trusts and boasts that he possesses great skill, prudence, power, favor, friendship, and honor, has also a God, but not this true and only God. This appears again when you notice how presumptuous, secure, and proud people are because of such possessions, and how despondent when they no longer exist or are withdrawn. Therefore, I repeat that the chief explanation of this point is that to have a God is to have something in which the heart entirely trusts. The words of Luther. Beloved in Christ, we continue to get such warnings about wealth, about property, about possessions, about idolatry, because we see the great harm that comes from idolatrous living. For when you place the love of money, the love of property, the love of even politicians above God, you place the love of all of these things above the commands of God. Commands that tell you to love your neighbor. Commands that tell you to care for one another and to build each other up in community rather than finding ways to buy one another's love and respect and honor. For when we place the love of money before God, we miss the Lazarus among us. And the chasm between the rich and the poor continues to grow ever more prevalent. The rich man now experiencing the pain that comes from such living, he advocates for those who come after him. And we find that he's advocating also for us who have been filled with great things while ignoring the cries of those in need. He's advocating for a sinful and frankly unrepentant people. And the response to his pleas, is no. No, there will be no salvation for them because they will continue to ignore the way of the Lord like they have many times before. And they refuse to change. We're still in the season of the time after Pentecost. It's a long season. But Advent is 9 weeks away. 2 whole months when we start ramping up our celebration towards Christmas. And yet, while it's still being 9 weeks away, we find that the Christmas story is never truly that far off. As we hear the words of Mary echoed once again through Jesus' parable on Lazarus today. You see, in the first chapter of Luke, Mary proclaims through the great Magnificat, "The Lord has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Words, while maybe more graphic, that are restated here, saying that the rich, they have already received their reward, but those who have suffered, their pain will cease. Those who have hungered, they will find food aplenty. And those who long for love and mercy will find it in Christ. Our psalm today, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, loves the righteous, cares for the stranger, sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. Christ most literally raises Lazarus up from the grave in the promise of new life, showing that what once was dead now has new life. New life, folks, that is found only in God through Jesus Christ for all people. You see, while the rich man fails as an advocate for others like him, Christ acts as an advocate for all, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." God in Christ has seen our plights and the pain that we continue to bring upon one another, and opens up a way for hope, a way for repentance, and a way for hope that the chasm that separates us might lessen, or that it might even disappear as we reach for shalom. While we who are steeped in our sinful natures cling desperately to the things in this life that fail to provide life, Jesus begs for moments of our attention as we reorient back towards God and the cross. A cross that reminds us of a Savior that walked among us and still accompanies us every day. A cross from which God, through Christ, looked upon humanity and saw something worth saving in you. The cross of Jesus Christ that continues the revelation of Mary, saying that God is not yet done with us and is still doing new things among us. That tells us that God remains with you who ache, that God remains with you who suffer, and continues to be in a world that cries out in hopes of shalom, now and forever.